We'll take a break from, I guess, the Parsha for this week, and we'll discuss other Yonad Yoma. We know that Thanksgiving is tomorrow, and I certainly cannot imagine I'm the first person to discuss the turkey in the week of Thanksgiving. I'm sure somebody figured out this connection before. What we'd like to do is discuss the issues and the Masorah and the Halachic issues pertaining to the kashrus of turkey, the animal, and try to begin from the earliest discussion in the Gemara and what happened in more contemporary times with the discovery of turkey as a bird and what goes on nowadays when it comes to the kashrus of this animal. And the article, there is really only one article written on this topic, which is the article. There's an article written in an old RJJ journal by Ari Zavitovsky, and he did all of the research and the history of the migration of the bird, and really has every single Mari Makom pretty much covered everything. I have a few other things that I think are not in the article to some interesting Mari Makomos as well, but really if anyone wants to read it inside and to really have all the sources and how it's brought down and the whole history of the matter, his article is the best. There's nothing better than that article. Let's begin. Just as a side point, we know that in Hebrew we call a turkey a tarngol hodu, right? So people like to joke that it's like thank hodu is to thank, and therefore it's connected to Thanksgiving. It's the chicken that's connected to Thanksgiving. That's really not what it means. It's a reference to where it comes from, which is perhaps India, or the thought to be the origins of the bird, which is in India, and hodu is India in Tanakh. We know from Miguel's Esther. And actually, how do we know that's to be the case? Because you spell Tarnagol Hodu with a dagesh in the dalet. Hodu without a dagesh would mean to think, like we say in davening. But Hodu with a dagesh, with a hard dalet, indicates that it's referring to the country of India. Why? Because really, the country is called Hondu, with the N in India. And that's really what the word is. But since that's hard to pronounce in Lashon HaKodesh, we drop the N, we drop the Nun, sorry. And when the Nun... when the nun is dropped, so you represent that by putting a dagesh in the dalad. And therefore it's hodu with a hard dalad to represent the fact that the nun was there. And therefore it's referring to India, not the idea of giving thanks. Because we find throughout the Gemara and Brachos a number of places as well, it's called hundai, is the reference to India with that nun being dropped when we pronounce it nowadays. Let's begin. The Mishnah in the Chulin Daf and Tesan Al says, Simani behema v'chai nemu min haTorah, that the signs of an animal and of behema and achaya, two different types of mammals. So they are min haTorah, they're described in the Torah. We know all these signs as well. V'simani ha'of lo nemru. But the signs for a bird are not mentioned. What does that mean? We know in the Torah, as opposed to when it comes to a bird, when you find by mammals, we know that a kosher mammal has to chew its cud and have split hooves. And that's the signs for a land animal for the Torah. However, when it comes to a bird, there are no signs. Rather, what does the Torah do? The Torah tells us, gives us a list of birds in Parshas Shemini, and again in Parshas Re'eh, and it says whatever is not on this list is kosher, and therefore whatever is not on the list is fine to eat, but whatever is on the list would be a problem. However, we have an issue, because if you just opened up any English translation of Torah, you would see, whether it's Artskol or R.A. Kaplan's Living Torah, you would see that there is a great discrepancy in how to translate the names of these birds that are listed in the Torah, meaning we are not entirely sure about what these birds are. And we might guess that this is an ostrich, or this is a type of eagle, or a hawk, or these different types of birds, but we don't really know for sure. And since we cannot for certain identify these birds, instead we have another source, and that is to rely on certain simanim that are passed down by Chazal. Aval amru chachamim, the rabbis tell us, kol of hadores tamei. Any animal that is dores. What does it mean to be dores? That's machlokes in Rashi and Tosos. Rashi says, it holds its food in the claws while it eats. Meaning, it takes its foot and it pins its prey down to the ground, and then it bites out of the prey while it's holding it down. That's what it means to be dores. Rabbeinu Tam later on the Gemara in Samach Aleph says it means it eats its prey before it dies, and that's what it means to be dores. That's a very aggressive bird. It doesn't wait till the prey to die and it eats it while it's alive. We generally follow Rashi in this definition, generally, but nevertheless, in either case, it doesn't come up. So that's what it means to be dores. If the animal is dores, a very aggressive bird of prey, it means that the person, it means it's not a kosher bird if it acts in such a way. Then it says, kosher yishbo etzba yisera v'zefek v'kur kavano niklaf, if the bird has an extra toe, if it has a crop, and it has a korkavan haniklaf, the halaga korkavan, the gizzard inside the stomach, or the gizzard inside the animal, if it's easily peelable, you can see it, if you're ever to see the korkavan of a kosher animal, the lining easily peels off. You can peel it off with your finger, you don't have to cut it in any way, the lining of the stomach peels away. This is a korkavan haniklaf. That bird, if it has that type of inside, would be kosher as well. So we have three positive identifying marks: the extra toe, the crop, and the stomach that peels away. In addition to the negative one, which is an animal that is dores, these indicate whether the bird is kosher or not. We actually have a very nice remez. The Zivchei Tzedek there in Yerodei and Pei Bei says that if you take the second letter of each of these four words, it spells out the word sipor. So for example, etzba yisera, the second letter is a tzadi. Zefek, the second letter is a pei. Korkavan niklaf, the second letter of korkavan is a vav. And then finally, do reish, if you spell it without a vav, it's a reish. So you have tzadi pei, vav reish. So it spells out the word sipor. You have a remez to these four simanim in the word bird itself. Okay.
Why did they pick these simanim?
This is the Masorah that was handed down. This is the tradition that was handed down to identify such a kosher bird. Meaning, I can't tell you the bird exactly, but I can tell you a kosher bird would certainly have these things. That's what Chazal know. Okay. Says the Gemara. The Gemara in Samach Beis, Amud Beis there in Chulin, tells us the following story regarding a certain type of animal called a Tarnagalusa de Agma, the swamp hen, whatever type of animal this is. So, Asira, it's Aser, okay? It's Aser. Chazuya didarseva achalei, saw it was dores and it was eating. It ate something that it was dores, whether it means that it held it down or whether it held it means that it ate it while it was alive. And therefore, they said it was Aser, v'hainu giruse, and they felt that this was clearly an improper animal. But what do we see? That we see over here that the rabbis thought that a certain animal was kosher, a certain bird was kosher, and then they came along and said that it wasn't kosher. So what's going on over here? So this is going to open up the discussion, this comment of they thought the bird was kosher, and then it wasn't. Later on, something switched in their minds because they saw it was dores. So this will lead to the discussion of, do you need a masorah, do you need a tradition in order to know if the bird is kosher or not? And this is going to be in Machlokas Rishonim and in the Achronim as well. We'll begin with those who say you do not need a Masorah. The first school of Rishonim understand that birds can be eaten as long as they have the above Simanim, regardless of anything else. You don't need any traditions. If it has these four Simanim, you're good to go, and that's the end of the discussion. This includes the opinion of Rabbeinu Chananel, the Rambam and Hilchos Machos, the Suras and Parak Aleph, the Ramban, the Rashba, the Ritva, the Magen Mishnah, Rabbeinu Tam, the Rif, the Baal HaItzer as well, the Ran, the Baal Maor, and Rabbeinu Yitzchak, the Sefer HaTshuma, Ghost Maimoni, a whole slew of Rishonim understand that if you have the Simanim, that is sufficient, and you don't need any Masorah to tell you that the bird was once eaten by Jewish people. Says the Magen Mishnah, let's just quote from him as one example, V'da Shinira min HaMishnah V'Gemara Shekol Ov, Sheyesh Lo Gimel Simani Tara. It's clear from the Mishnah and the Gemara that as long as it has these three signs of purity, Athel Pisha En Yadu Im Dores, even if you don't know if it's dores, imlav, tahor, it's still pure, it's still a kosher bird. Shameless topic, shema dores, you don't have to go and check, maybe it is dores, I have to go into the wild with binoculars and research the bird. Is it dores, is it not dores? As long as it has the three physical signs on the body, you can assume that is fine. Huvada lo dores, v'zed dasrov mefarshim. This is the opinion of most mefarshim, this is the opinion of the Rashba in his Torah Sabais, v'zed dasaramban. And then he says, even though this is against Rashi, which we'll see in a second. Okay? This is seemingly also the opinion of the Shulchan Aruch, and this will be the Shita of Sfardim, as we'll see later on, and it's the opinion of the Yam Shel Shlomo, and the Knesset HaGadola, and the Pri Chadosh, and the Kanfei Yonah, and the Arugos HaBosem, and the Shaul Umeshiv, and Ravaj Yosef, and the Halichos Olam, and a slew of Chashiva Achronim who hold that it's sufficient to have Simanim, and you don't need a tradition to tell you that the bird is kosher. There's a stira within the opinion of Rav Yonas and Eibeshitz. Rav Yonas and Eibeshitz writes in the Kresi Uplesi, in the Kuntras regarding birds at the end, so he says that we don't need a Masorah, and Simanim, these four signs are sufficient. However, if you look in the Plesi itself, in Simon Pei Beis over here, Rav Yonas and Eibeshitz says, Anu Machmir Mishol Lechol Shuvof, Elab Mesorah, we're machmer to not eat a bird unless we have a Mesorah. So regarding the opinion of Yonas Eibush, it's a bit of a stira, but we certainly have very chashuv, a very distinguished poskim and rishonim who hold that it is sufficient to have a bird if you have the signs. You don't need a Mesorah, any tradition, you can decide on your own. You could be out in the wild, shech the bird, tear it open, see what's going on, and if you see that it has these signs of the toe and the stomach and the crop, then everything is fine and you can eat it right there on the spot. However, the more dominant school of Rishonim is that of Rashi. Look at Rashi here on that Gemara regarding the Tarnagalusa Dagma, the swamp hen. Says Rashi there in Saf Beis and Beis, Nira Li, Da'of Haba Lefanenu, a bird that comes before us, Yishlomar Shema Yidros. How are we to know for sure if this animal is Dores or not? Unless you have a proper inspection. Da'ha Hach Tarnagalusa Dagma, remember the swamp hen? Hayimachzikin b'Torah. They thought for sure it's kosher. We always know it's kosher. The whole time it was kosher. But after time, what happened? Re'uha shedoreses. They saw that. No, we made a mistake. It factually was dores. It was a very aggressive bird of prey. And we made a mistake this whole time eating this non-kosher bird. Ve'ein of nacha lanu elag b'mesoras of shemasu lanu avuseinu b'tahor. And therefore, says Rashi, Rashi proclaims, we do not eat a bird unless we have a Masorah tradition that it was eaten beforehand b'tahara with kashas. V'lo shemasu lanu yishlachush v'mesorah seishlanu v'smoch. If we have a Masorah, we can rely on such a thing that an oaf tahor nechal b'mesoras. Now the oaf tahor, the kosher bird, has a Masorah tradition that Jewish people before us ate this bird. Without such a tradition, the bird is not kosher and should not be eaten. This is the shita of Rashi, based on this discussion of the Tarnagalusa Da'agma. Therefore, even if you have the three signs, we need to have the Masorah. This is the opinion of the Isser V'Hetzer and Rabbeinu Yonah Ashkenazi in the Isser V'Hetzer and the Rush in Chulin and the Chuvas HaRush in Chaf Lamed Beis and Rabbeinu Yerucham and the Rakanti. All great Rishonim hold that. You need to make sure you have a Masorah if you want to eat the bird. This is the Shita of Rashi. What about the poskim? Lamaisa, this is quoted by the Ramah. Look at the Ramah here. He and in the Darkei Moshe as well, in Sif Gimel and Pei Beis. Ve'ein lachol shumof elav mesorah shekiblu bo shu tahor. We do not eat a bird unless we have a mesorah. B'chein noagin ve'ein l'shanos. He really drives it home. This is the minhag, and we don't change it no matter what. You need a mesorah in order to eat a kosher bird. This is the shita of the Ramah. And he writes in the again in the Darkei Moshe. This is the sheet of the Levush, the Divrei Chaim, the Sanz Rav, and Chelik Beis. Minod Yehuda Tinyanasim and Chav Tes, the Maram Shikin Yerodei Tzadiches, the Chachmas Adam in Lamed Vav, the Teferis Yisolnus Perish on Chulin, the Zivchei Tzedek, the Mishnah Brura as well in Tuf Reish Mem Ches says Derech Agav. By the way, you can't eat a bird unless you have a Masorah. And the Ben Ishchai, the Aruch HaShulchan, and the Pei Beis as well, and Rav Moshe Feinstein, Yoredeya, Aleph, Lamed Dalet, all saying that you must have a Masorah if you want to eat a bird. That's the halacha, and this is how us Ashkenazim are knowing. No ifs, ands, or buts. This is the halacha. It's not up for discussion. Okay? This is how it comes down. The base Shlomo Yoredeya in Kuf Mem Dalet says that once the Ramah says we need a Masorah, then that closes the discussion, any possibility of eating a bird without a Masorah. He writes, Shaharbe Rishonim Upratos Rabbeinu Ramah Sagru Haderech. They close the door. And we have to be machmir for Rashi to have a Masorah. The Darkei Tshuva writes this in Sifkat and Lamed, and this is the Maram Shik and the Zivchei Tzedek, who says that only B'shas Hadachak, again, you are trapped on an island, and you know, you have all you got there is a bird, and it has the three signs. So okay, you don't have a Masorah, that's fine. B'shas Hadachak, and you're in really a tight situation, you can rely on a bird without a Masorah, but the proper thing to do is to have a bird that has a tradition in order to eat it. Okay, good. Next, two other things about Masorah before we move on, before we discuss the turkey. The first is a tshuva from the Shaul Umeshiv, Rav Yosef Shaul Nathanson writes in two places that if you have a Suffolk Masorah, let's say I'm not sure if there's a Masorah, I think there's a Masorah, but I'm not sure. So he says in that case, you have a fake Sveika, and you can rely and eat the bird. What's the fake Sveika? The first Suffolk is, maybe you don't need a Masorah, like those who've shown him. And the second Suffolk is, I don't know if I have a Masorah. So you have a Suffolk Sveik Sveika. If you have a Suffolk Masorah, says the Sholem Eishiv, you can eat the bird. The others in that Shuvah from Rav Moshe, Yodea Aleph Lama Dalid, where Rav Moshe says that a name is not considered enough of Masorah. Meaning, this is a chicken, and this is a chicken. But this chicken, this is a different type of chicken, but it has the name chicken in its name. So because it has the name chicken in its title, doesn't mean we have a Masorah for it. The bird has to have the identifying marks of the bird that we already have the Masorah for. You can't simply say, well, this is called a chicken over here in Alabama, and in Wisconsin it's also called a chicken, even though they don't really look the same, but whatever, it's called a chicken, and therefore we have a Masorah. Says Rav Moshe, a name is not enough of a Masorah, needs to be able to have identifying marks to show that this is the same bird that we have a Masorah for as well. Where does turkey come from? This is a big debate. There are three possible options of where turkey comes from and how it got to us. The first is brought down by the Nachal Eshkol. So we don't have it here on the sheet, but the Nachal Eshkol writes that, this is in Hilchos Simani Behema, he writes that 300 years before his time, so the turkey came to India to England, and then to Germany, and now we eat it. And the Kaf HaChaim says we eat turkey. He calls it the Tarnagol Englishy Hen, the English hen. Somehow made it to England from India. This is the Masorah they had, and this is what they ate in India. And the Netziv writes in the Meshiv Davar here in Chelek Beis, Sof Simen Chaf Beis, Ha'of Indik, the turkey, Sha'anu Ochlin, Hayu Harbe Ma'arin Aleim, Bishah, Shaviu me India. People were questioning when it came from India. Some saying there was no Masorah. So, one school of thought, we find that it comes from the India, and that's where the origin of the turkey comes from. The Meshiv Davar, the Nachal Eshkol. The second approach is from the Arugas Habosam. The Arugas Habosam is a very definitive tshuva on this issue of the turkey. He has the Kuntres HaTshuvos in Simen Tes Zayin. Look at what he says over here. And he says, Yesh gam kein tshuva al divrei abach shehevi magen avram, v'ataras hakeinim borachayim, dohad de'isab yusham, d'tzarech v'harchik mitzoas tarnagol. So they talk about the certain type of bird, and when it comes to this bird, there was a discussion regarding its tzoa, and a certain type of bird that had a certain type of excrement, and could you make brachos in front of it? And they're trying to describe the type of bird that it is. Uperish abach to tarnagol madum hayu mashen koren English or hen. It's that which we call the English hen. That's the turkey. They didn't have such a turkey in their days. The turkey was, whatever they're talking about in the times of the Bach, you think that's a turkey, it's not. It didn't exist at that time in Europe. America. So says the Arugas Habosam, the turkey is an American bird. It does not come from England, India, it comes from America. And this is where it originated on the Jewish plates. Okay? Meaning Columbus, a little bit 1492, Columbus sails the ocean blue. So around that time, we discover the turkey, and if one eventually from the Americas, it will come back to Europe. This is the understanding of the Arugas Habosam. The Rav Yitzhak Ritzami writes in the Shulchan Aruch Mekutzar in Simen Kuf Lamed Daled that he suggests that the turkey is from America, and why do we call the Tarnagol Hodu? Why do we think it came from India? Because Columbus thought he made it to India, right? He was trying to get to India the other way. So really, he thought it was India, and everybody else thought it was India. So they bring back this bird from what they thought was India, or everyone was expecting it to be India, and they called it the Tarnagol Hodu. It's from India, but it wasn't. It's from America. So the Shulchan Aruch Mekutzar says there was never possible it came from India. It's just a confusion over American history and how Columbus was supposed to find India and a shortcut, but really he discovered America instead. So that's where the confusion comes from. The third shita is based on a comment of the Mishnah Berurah. The Mishnah Berurah writes in Ayin Tes Chaf Vav, quoting a tshuva of the Bach, that the din in Shulchan Aruch is that the excrement of this animal called a red chicken is more foul than the excrement of other animals. And that has an opinion regarding making brachos in front of the animal. Okay? So the Arugas Habosim says that the fact that they had this animal, and the Arugas Habosim says that the fact that this red chicken halacha is based on Yerushalmi. So maybe that could indicate that if they think that the turkey is the red chicken, then maybe it was already in Palestine at the time of the writing of the Talmud Yerushalmi. He says it's highly unlikely because we have no record of turkeys ever existing in Eretz Yisrael. So even though there's a lot of turkey in Eretz Yisrael now, I think Eretz Yisrael is the biggest, one of the biggest consumers per capita of turkey because of shawarma. But at the time of the Talmud Yerushalmi, so he doesn't think it's a possibility that there was such an animal then at the time of its writing. Okay, so what do? We have this bird, this turkey, and it shows up on the scene coming from America or India, whatever it may be, and there's no Masorah. Where does it, so what do? We need a Masorah in order to eat a bird. So all of a sudden, people have been eating turkey in Europe, and the Rabbanim look around and say, what are we doing? What are we eating turkey? There's no Masorah for us. So it essentially suggests four reasons or four ways to get around the issue of allowing the turkey, even though we don't seem to have a clear-cut Masorah. Reason number one is brought by the Mei Be'er in Simen Yud Tes. Listen to this. Ukvar Yadua Ba'of Indik. I know about the turkey Shaya Masorah Barura. May Anshe India. We have Masorah from the people of India, Kabbalah on Moshe Rabbeinu. Going back to Moshe Rabbeinu. Shu Of Tahar, that is a kosher bird. El Shaya Machlokis in the smoke al Anshe India. The whole question was not if we have a Masorah, but whether the people in India are reliable in their Masorah. But they do have a Masorah, he says. Ubezen Nechuku Chachme Hador. And this was a big machlokas until the Rivash came along. Who's the Rivash? So you're thinking the Rishon, the Rivash, the Chuvas Rivash. No, Rivash stands for Rav Yisrael Baal Shem Tov. Until the Baal Shem Tov came around, Be'echriya Kechachme Amatirin, and the Baal Shem Tov said, this is the Masorah, it's a mutter bird. Ve'amar she'esh l'smocha anche India, we should rely on those from India, ki yesham yireim v'shlevim, because they're very firm in India, v'chol anche India nizharim v'machalos asuros, and the Jews of India are very careful to eat kosher food. Okay? So this is what the Mei Be'er writes, and this is cited as well in the Shalshalos Kamarin and the Kuntros Terach Nesher. And perhaps the first reason is because the Baal Shem Tov said so. The Baal Shem Tov got up in Paskins that the turkey is kosher. Says the Darkei Tshuva here in Sifkat and Chafav, I find it very questionable the Baal Shem Tov got up and said that the turkey is kosher, because we have no record. This whole mice over here was written 100 years after Baal Shem Tov. We would have heard around the time of the Baal Shem Tov that the Baal Shem Tov said the turkey was kosher. But we have no record, and he finds the whole story questionable and doesn't think it's possible to say that the Baal Shem Tov did such a thing. I never saw anything from the Baal Shem Tov saying this. He says the whole discussion about turkey is a new thing. It's a new discussion. So the Baal Shem Tov was discussing turkey, but nobody else was. He finds the whole thing highly unlikely. So reason number one, not so clear, the Baal Shem Tov paskind. Reason number two, the Netziv has a piece, again in the Meish of Davar, in the Simen Chaf, in Chelek Beis, Simen Chaf Beis, where he writes as follows. Aval acher shekvar nogu lachlum umestama gam az hay alpi ho ras chacham, that we see the Jewish people are eating it, and it must have been reliable on some psak from a Talmud Chacham. Shenir lo shu min avaz hatahor huchsuko bezeh. He thought it was some sort of kosher goose, and this was the animal, and he was matarit. Since the Jewish people have been doing it, we shouldn't go and be motzi las, to go and disparage and to cause a bad name for the Jews who have been eating this, even though maybe they thought it was another bird that's not actually, and we shouldn't be motzi las on these people. And we shouldn't say that these people made a mistake, or that we shouldn't go and say that they're doing the wrong thing. But Teda Shehetar Oaf Indik Shanu Ochlim Hayu Harbe Ma'arin Alayam Bishah Shavim in India. And the bird that we're eating, people began to question if it came from India. Well, Hayu Masorah Sakashusa, maybe there was no Masorah. But Gamod Hayom Yish Machrim and Porsche Mehem, people are Machmer, it's not eat the turkey. Mikamakam Karnagu Lehetar in Vain Potsapeh. The Minag has become to be Materit. And since this is what happened, we shouldn't go against it, right? And he says that once it's happened and all the signs seem to indicate, meaning it matches the three simanim, it's not dores, but we'll do it anyway. So combine the fact that we've already been eating the turkey, maybe we started by mistake, who knows, he says, and combine with the fact that it has the simanim, so he says, we'll keep on doing it and we shouldn't stop them. And we treat it as if we have a Masorah. So reason number two, says the Netziv, is we've essentially created a Masorah because we've been eating it and it has the simanim, and therefore that should be sufficient, says the Netziv. Okay? And he says,
Fine.
It's a very interesting shita that we can essentially create a mesorah b'shas hadachak. So shita number two, we created a mesorah. Number three, the Arugas HaBosam writes as follows. Again, in the Kuntras HaShuvas, he says, I'll say it outside, it's a longish piece, so he says that the Ramah, when the Ramah requires a mesorah, so it's only when there's a suffix about the do-res status of the bird, right? Because the other three simanim are very simple. Toe, the crop, and the stomach, right? The korkavan. So I can check those out. What's the difficult simon to ascertain? If it's do-res, so you have to go follow the bird out into the wild, and that's not so easy. So the Ramah said that you only need a mesorah when you have a suffix about whether it's do-res or not. But says the Arugas HaBosam, if you know for sure that this animal, this turkey, has not do-res, and there's no suffix anymore. We've been observing the turkey for centuries now. We know what a turkey does. We know all about a turkey. There's a whole turkey lobby. They make sure, right, the turkey lobby in Washington are the people who give the turkey to the president to pardon it, and they want to make sure we know everything about turkey. The turkey is known inside and out. There's nothing about the turkey that we don't know. So now that we know for sure that the animal is not do-res, so there's no need of a mesorah. So the Arugas HaBosam has a chiddush, that the whole concept of a mesorah by a bird is only to determine if it's do-res or not, if it is something that is an aggressive bird of prey. But once we know for sure now that it's not do-res, so then there's no reason to have a mesorah, and this is sufficient. And he quotes a shita from the Avnei Nezer in Chelek Alef Yerodei Ayin Vav, that if you domesticate the bird, So says the Avnei Nezer, maybe the reason why the turkey is not do-res is because we've domesticated it, right? Maybe the turkey was do-res in the wild, but now it's been around us so long, being kept in pens, and we've been in total control of it, maybe that we've lost its do-res, and maybe therefore it should still not be kosher, because potentially by its nature, it is do-res. So says the Arugas HaBosam, to this possibility that we essentially, we trained the turkey to not be a bird of prey. He says that it can't be. That doesn't seem to make any sense. He doesn't agree with such a shita, and he says that it's clearly not do-res. We've seen the turkey in other places. We've seen the turkey in wild, and the turkey is not an aggressive bird of prey as understood by Chazal, and therefore that's the reason. So reason number three is, you only need a mesorah to define if the animal is an aggressive bird of prey. Once we now know for sure it's not, so therefore, the whole idea of mesorah in the Ramah and Rashi falls away. Reason number four to be matir is from the Sho'el Umeshiv. There in Hey Aleph Samach Tes, and he says that you don't even really need a mesorah. He thinks that Rashi was wrong, and the halacha is like the other Rishonim. And we don't pass them like Rashi. And he said that had Rashi seen these issues that came up, so he would have changed his opinion. And he would have said that any bird with three signs is fine. And he goes on to say that this is the halacha, and that really this is the minog, and we don't need a mesorah since it came from America and the Jews eat it. And therefore, this is the minog of the Ashkenazim, and we were not mekabel the Ramah. So the Sho'el Umeshiv has a big chiddush, and we don't pass it like the Ramah in this case. And that is a very interesting shita. So again, the four reasons to be makil are that the Baal Shem Tov paskins. The second is that we made a mistake, but since we know for sure now that it has the simanim, it's fine. The third is that you only need a mesorah if you don't know whether it's a bird of prey, and now we know it's not a bird of prey. And then finally, is we don't pass on like Rashi, and we don't need the mesorah at all. Four reasons to be makel when it comes to the turkey. Two other haros. There's a comment in the new Masoros Moshe, or Moshe Feinstein, by his grandson in Or HaChaim Os Kuf Ches, where Moshe suggests that the prevalent minog to allow turkey came from the idea that the turkey is very similar to the chicken. And since it looks like a chicken and acts like a chicken, and therefore they didn't feel it necessary to be so exact in the Masorah, because chickens and turkeys, they taste the same a little bit, they act the same. So therefore, Moshe felt that they were makel in the Masorah in that area. And then finally, the minog by the Chaznish and the Stipler is quoted a number of Sfarim, is that the Chaznish and the Stipler ate turkey without question. They felt that the Masorah was fine. Rav Shechter has a different shita. Rav Shechter holds that a turkey is not kosher, and that there's no mesorah for it. And he's a very big fan of an article written in a sefer called Mesorah Sa'of by Professor Zohar Amar, who's a professor in Eretz Yisrael. And Professor Amar makes the following argument. He says, what does it mean that we have all of a sudden there was a Masorah for the turkey? He says, what happens is this. He says, the Sephardim never needed a Masorah in the first place. So when Columbus came back, or whoever came back with a turkey from America, they had this bird, and the Sephardim said, oh, it checks out. It's not Doreis, it has the crop, it has the Kirk of Ananiklof, and it has the extra toe, so let's eat it. And the Ashkenazim said, oh, no, we can't eat it, we don't have a Masorah. And then what happened? 50, 60, 70 years later, the next generation of the Ashkenazim looked around and said, oh, look, we have the turkey, and the Sephardim are eating it. Must mean we have a Masorah. And therefore, the Ashkenazim said, oh, we have a Masorah, and they started eating the turkey. Says Rav Shechter, that is an unacceptable way to come up with the Masorah. He thinks that there's no way we had a tradition beforehand, and therefore, he thinks that people should not be having turkey because he thinks it's not a kosher bird. And he says the whole mice with the Baal Shem Tov is ridiculous, and there's never a Masorah back to Moshe Rabbeinu. That's crazy. There was turkeys in the middle of the desert. What does that mean? So, or in Eretz Yisrael. So he says it's not possible, and therefore Shechter feels it's proper to be machmer when it comes to turkey. So the minhag olam is generally to eat turkey. There are select families or select groups of people who don't eat turkey, and this is how we come to the discussion regarding the turkey's Masorah. I was just thinking, just to conclude al-darech machshava, that we see from the turkey that in order to differentiate between an animal that's tameh and tahor, so an animal that is kosher, not kosher, an animal that is appropriate to eat and not appropriate to eat, so we need a Masorah, we need a tradition. And recently, there's been a big discussion about Masorah and the importance of Masorah when it comes to Yiddishkeit and how we decide what is correct and incorrect. And we need to be aware that when it comes to distinguishing in our lives, in our communities, what is Tahar and what is Tameh, what is pure and impure, so it's important to have a Masorah. And the Masorah is not a small thing, and it's not just a phrase that's being bandied about to make trouble or to cause disruptions, but Masorah, having a tradition of what is appropriate and not appropriate in how we act as a community and the decisions we make, is certainly an important part of deciding what is Tahar and what is Tameh.